the journey to Eurosong 2025.
Hi guys, I'm Niall.
Hey, it's Bobby Arlo.
Hey, I'm Aji.
Hello, this is Emmy.
Hi, I'm Railta.
Hi, I'm Samantha Mumba, and you're listening to the Eurovision Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Eurovision Podcast, the journey to Eurosong 2025. And it is time for our big Eurosong preview episode. It is a very exciting one. We have gotten the band back together from last year, and it's time to talk about the six songs in contention to represent Ireland at the Eurovision Song Contest 2025. Lou, Alex, how are we? We've got some guests with us today.
We got the good biscuits out and the teapot and virtually, of course, for some of our guests. Very excited to delve into this national selection. Like, so far, we've managed to keep Ireland safe from all these withdrawals and disqualifications. So touch wood, long may it continue. How's Alex?
I'm good. I'm so excited. I can't believe we're only 1 week away. That is crazy. But I think we're going to possibly have a more diverse opinions this year. I think last year on this episode, not that we were all repeating each other, but I think we all kind of gravitated towards certain entries, where I think it'll be an interesting episode this year because we might all have our favourites or the ones that we're not so keen on. And that makes for a better conversation, I think. So shall we introduce our guests?
Let's do it.
Yes, I think we'll kick it off first. He is better known as Melfest Mihal on our podcast, coming in from Stockholm, Sweden. Please welcome Mihal O'Kane. Melfest Mihal, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you guys? This is Stockholm calling.
Thank you for joining us, Mihal, as always. And we must welcome our next virtual guest joining us from the other side of the world, the stats man himself, my dad's favorite YouTuber now, apparently, ESE Tom. Welcome back to the Eurovision Podcast.
I can die happy. I'm Lou's dad's favorite person. I just, like, that's it. Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to talk about your song this year.
And our final guest, it is of course Glasgow Mihal. Welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry, I can't.
He's got the giggles.
Sorry, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about your song.
You know it's bad when four or six of us are together and the giggles start at the start of the episode. Welcome everybody. Guys, it's our fourth year of Eurosong in its like current life cycle and its current form. What are you hoping to see? Connor, what are you hoping to see this year in Eurosong? Any changes? Do you want anything to be the same?
Oh God. I want to see like improvements, little improvements. Of course, like we want a standalone show. That's not gonna happen anytime soon. So my thing is seeing slight improvements year on year. We obviously know that the stage is going to be slightly improved. We have a walkway this year, bigger LED screens, we've been told as well. So, like, that's improvements. I want to see better postcards, better, like, staging packages. So, once I see that, I'm happy. The songs, like, I think, again, good quality songs, like last year, building on what we got last year. So, I'm you know, happy with the direction we're going in. Ever so slowly, we're getting there. But, again, improvements year on year. That's all I want to see. What about you guys? Anyone want to take the floor?
I want to see better sound mixing. That was one big letdown that they just can't get wrong. And they have been getting wrong consistently. And it's unfair on the artists. And I understand that the studio is not made for this kind of show. But at the moment, we don't have another choice. And I think it's probably, it's just something they should be focusing on. LEDs, etc., they're great. You know, if they can get fireworks, fantastic. But the one thing they cannot get wrong is sound mixing, because some of these songs are fantastic. We have a great year. I'm looking at all the artists here, all of the songs. Spoiler, I'm quite happy with most of them, but I think it's unfair to put them in a situation where the mixing isn't up to par.
Say it louder.
Go on, Tom. He has his hand raised nice and politely.
So like everybody else, I would love a standalone show. But two things I really liked from last year. First one was Patrick Kilty. I thought he was really, really good. He seemed more positive. He was more interested. It looked like he'd done research. He was more invested. I thought he was really great. And secondly, I liked the judges last year. I thought they were more in touch with what's going on with Eurovision. They were more critical. They gave good criticism. So I want those two things to continue. I would like a standalone show in the future as well.
I have to agree with you, Tom. I also, if we're talking about the actual feel of the show, I think the audience was so behind the show last year. So I hope the studio audience will be just as enthusiastic, if not even more, this year. Melfest Micheál, do you have anything to add there?
I agree and echo with everything you guys are saying. What Connor mentioned about just year-on-year improvements. Like, we know we're not going to get a Melody Festival in our Sanremo in 1 year. And I don't think we even want that. We just want to... What I would like is just constant brand building for Eurosong and slowly keep getting more people on board so that we can go bigger every year. Like, a bigger LED, as you say. Like, a bigger stage, constantly just building upon, and especially with quality songs as well. I just want us to constantly keep going up, and I think we are going in that direction. Again, there's cameramen, camera woman, camera people there. Camera angles are free, so let's just be more creative with that. Let's get good, or let's mix our sound better. And I again, Tom, you mentioned Patrick. He's a great... Oh, I said Patrick, very Swedish. Patrick. Patrick Keaty is a brilliant host. He's really... there's interest and love there for it. And, you know, that makes us feel... We're all on the same page, I think. So I'm happy with it, you know.
I never thought I'd hear someone say, I'm happy with Eurosong. How far I'm we've happy. Come.
Yeah, I'm happy with the direction it's going. It feels like every year there seems to be a wee bit more time and care and love being put into it. And things like this take time. You know, it's people might think Ireland doesn't care. They're not changing overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. Give the people behind the scenes, they're trying, and we know that now, the more interviews we hear.
Your song being compared to Roman is amazing in comparison.
Oh, I love it.
That's the best thing it's ever been compared to.
If we take a step back and like look at Eurosong 2022, it's a completely different selection, isn't it? What do you think, Micheál?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I really, really enjoy how, especially the past 2 years, we've gotten diversity in the music. So props to whoever was choosing the songs, because they're doing a great job in that. I really think that camera angles is another thing that needs to be talked about, because the long shots that are going through the crowd, that's just ruining the ambience of the performance for me. It's just, it needs to be changed a little bit. Those little tweaks along with sound mixing, as Alex has already said, could make the show really a lot better and honestly give Ireland a better foot in presenting ourselves to the continent. So, it's like, we are getting better, and that's something we can look forward to and be happy with. So, yeah.
I think as well, like, maybe fairer camera angles for each act. I think definitely last year we saw with certain acts got better camera angles than others, mm-hmm. and it would be nice if every act got the same kind of treatment, but of course, you know.
Yeah, and as you guys were saying, I think it was the AG interview saying that they only get 45 minutes for a rehearsal, like that to me needs to be changed. There needs to be a little bit more time given to the artists so that they have control over, I think they should have control over sound mixing, over camera angles, over anything to do with their stage, and in 45 minutes today just doesn't really cut it. So I'm hoping that this year they've maybe taken on a little bit of advice in that regard. So we're praying. Let's pray.
Definitely. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to see your songs start to be more competitive. Like, I want them to look at other national finals and say, we want to be the best. Like, actually trying to look at what they're doing well, and be better than them. I don't really get that impression that they're trying to be the best with cameras, like you're saying, and sound mixing and everything else. So I want to see a little bit more ambition in that sense.
I also personally feel that we're starting to hit a ceiling with this current format. And if it continues like this for 3 or 4 years, we'll want to see change. A really small change that could happen next year really easily, but not change much. It's just add 2 extra songs into the final. Even 8 songs on that stage would just give a slightly greater choice. And it would make the points be even better spread amongst mm-hmm. the songs. And it means like, we're guaranteed a ballad, we're guaranteed an upbeat song, we're more likely to get a rock song, more likely to get R&B, whatever, just more diversity within the songs, just to keep it alive, I suppose, as a selection. What do we all think of the rollout? Anyone have any thoughts? It was our usual kind of Ray Darcy brief interview on the radio between all the other segments. First play on the radio. Now, a big change they did have was RTE officially releasing the name of the artist the morning of their day. So Bobby Arlo's name was released 6 a.m. the Monday morning. Like, Connor, you're shaking your head.
Stupid. Sorry. Like, who is awake at 6 a.m. in the morning? And then you're waiting till, what is it, 4? Well, it was like 20 to 4 when they were playing the song. It's too long. If you're going to release it in the morning, at least do it on like 2FM breakfast. If you're going to do a morning release, there's no point waiting and dragging it out until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And some of the songs are already released.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Especially when you have leaks online.
Yeah.
You're actually doing more of a disservice to the artist because all that streaming revenue is going away because people aren't tuning into RadarC to see what the song is because they can already access it online. It's not fair. I think the rollout needs work. Look, it's better than what we were getting. What, remember 23? We literally got one show on RadarC and it was like 20 seconds of the song and that was it.
And then do you remember they dropped it on an RTE page on their website and it wasn't even linked to streaming. It was just like an MP3 player.
Yeah.
So like we've come a long way and I'm not one now to be defending them on everything. But I do think it's a similar model to what they're doing with The Late Late Show, where they're taking an already popular show that they know gets a lot of listenership. And I guess the aim is reach as many people as possible. But as you said, I think it's such a good point. It's so unfair that they were not directing people to streaming. It seemed all over the place. Some artists, like Emmy, I believe, released her song on the Monday, yet didn't come out till the Thursday. But then other artists were waiting, you know, 2-3 days before their release date, even though they were coming out on the Monday or Tuesday. It just didn't seem to be all together. And maybe the artists or whoever is working on the team just needs to give them more time and notice on what their days are. I'm not 100% against the whole radio show thing, but I think it needs to be tidied up a lot.
I'm just literally going to say, I can understand why they wanted the like 6 a.m. release because last year, for example, 4 o'clock, like, your media print for the day is gone. You're kind of tomorrow's news, realistically, and most papers wouldn't pick up on you. Whereas with that 6 a.m. release, you're getting on like the 9 a.m. bulletin on radio in the entertainment scoop. So I can understand that, but was RadarC really the show we needed to have like the interview and the chat? Like, put it on the Laura Fox show at 9 o'clock on 2FM. Would you
be happy if they just played the song? Because maybe they're coming up against those shows like, I don't listen now, but maybe they're going, I don't want a whole section of interview. Would you be happy if it was a morning show and they just played the song?
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. I don't think we need like a big in-depth interview, especially
sure,
with RadarC.
Sure, AirVision released one anyway.
Well, exactly. Direct them our way.
But I think that the radio is something that should be supplemented. Like, it should be a thing that is added. For me, like, I've always seen that Eurosong could go in a direction of, like, ASCZ 2022, if you remember. They had a studio and they had some time and they just filmed, like, the songs coming out. It looked pretty cool. All they needed was a studio and some lights. And it was just, like, almost like an introductory music video. Like, it's not a full music video. And I can hear the screams of money, but the Czech delegation didn't really have a lot of money either. It just needed one day, get the music videos done, and that's that. And then I think a radio show is good in the fact that you get to meet the artist and they're not complete stranger who may be representing the whole country. So, like, I'm not against it. I disagree in the way that it shouldn't be just on the RadarC show.
Do you remember when Brooke came out with her song and she had like a 10-second visual and that was it, but they repeated it. But it meant you got like a little bit of a visual, you know what the concept was, even something like that.
Mm. And it feels like there can often be an afterthought when it comes to the Eurosong rollout, whereby the Late Late Show started uploading the full songs like in audio on their YouTube, but they didn't start doing it until the Wednesday of that week, I believe. So I got what they were trying to do, but they started a couple of days late. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd love to see some videos as well. The reality is everyone has an iPhone or a smartphone now, so you can film it on that. And then I think you could level the playing field by giving some limitations. Like UMK, I think they're only allowed one scene in their music videos. They aren't allowed to do something super elaborate. So you could say to the artist, look, you're allowed one scene, film something on your phone, just simple. Like you said, Brooke just did a 15-second clip and it was more interesting than nothing. So I'd love to see some sort of visual input because obviously visuals are a huge aspect of Eurovision. And I think that would elevate it. On the radio show aspect, I think it could be worse. I get the impression Ray Darcy is massively interested in Eurovision. So I would rather they maybe pick someone who is a bit more into it.
And Michal, okay, obviously, like, you're an Irish person, but you're living abroad. How is it tuning in, if you did tune in, to, like, listen to Ray Darcy abroad? Like, are you kind of cringing when, obviously, you're comparing it to Melody Festival and what you're used to, but...
I'm tuning in now at the right time, so I skip all the interviews about mice and random crap. I time it perfectly to catch the interview and then the talk. But I think, like Alex said, I know they're trying to use the radio to get maximum reach. That's cool, but it should be, radio shouldn't be primary. Like, we consume media and music so many different ways now. So I think, okay, put it on radio, but then also allow them to take over the RT Instagram or the Facebook, like the artist himself that day, have visualizers. I think instead of like changing the radio, just add on to it, like have visualizers on the YouTube channel, maybe, I don't know, on TikTok, just spread it out towards all your demographics. Like, it's not going to take that much time and it can just be very effective.
Visualizers are like the next big thing, aren't they? Like with pop artists, and in terms of scaling back instead of music videos, we nearly see visualizers more on YouTube now than we see music videos. That's nearly like a thing of the past in a way. I think we should get stuck into the six songs, guys, because we have so much to sink our teeth into here. So we are just going to go in the order of the Eurosong release week, as we were just discussing. So we are going first up to the artist Bobby Arlo with her song Power Play. And let's hear a little bit of that now. Believe me, oh, you love to call me crazy. You ain't seen nothing yet. I go stupid, I get freaky. Okay. Dramatic pause. There we have it. There we have it. Bobby Arlo, Power Play, was the first in our Eurosong 2024 lineup. Michal O'Kane, Melfest Michal, I'm going to kick it off with you. I'm dying to hear your thoughts a little bit on this. Our pop prince, what do you think of Power Play?
Did you call me a pop prince?
Yes. Just came to my head. I'm so proud of myself.
Going to get it added somewhere on here. No, I love this. This is my winner. This represents, I think I used to talk about this new Ireland, or for Ireland to be represented in a fresh, modern way. And I think Bambi did it last year. And now Bobby can keep that going. Like, Ireland is modern. It is cool. It is inclusive. And we have this, and for the past decade or more, we've been represented as this backward, boring, vanilla, non-competitive country. And now finally, we're getting to show us in a good, cool, positive light, and Bobby will do it. And I think, of course, I think the structure needs a little edit and tweak to give it more lights and shadows. But like, she's already said she's planning to do that. So for me, in Bobby, I trust. Like, Bobby for Basel, really. I'm excited for this. I think our second qualification in a row is almost certain if Bobby represents us. So I'm team Bobby.
Starting off strong. Oh my God. Tom, we'll go to you next. Bobby Arlo, fan?
Yes, big fan. This song has really, really great impact right off the bat. I think this is the best opening 30 seconds. It's really wild, really impactful. And that's really important to engage viewers right at the start of the song, that they are invested to watch the full 3 minutes. Personality wise, she's so lovely. I loved her interview. I've spoken to her on Instagram. She's really sweet, really receptive to criticism. She said that she would do a little bit of a revamp if she went to Basel. I think the song is really interesting lyrically. I love this pull, push, manipulation theme that really fits into really engaging staging. I can see blacks and pink neons and her pushing and pulling with demons or whatever. There's so much potential for staging. I think the ending needs a little bit more oomph. The last maybe minute, I think, could do with a little bit of a revamp just to change up, give something a bit different. She's got the fee-fi-fo-fums and she's got some ad libs. And I hope in the live performance, she just elevates that even further. So the last third feels different. But yeah, this carries on Bambi's torch in the most perfect way. It's alternative, it's different, but it's not derivative. It's not copying Bambi, but it's continuing on an independent artist theme. Our new identity, moving away from really generic, bland pop. I think this is really great for us.
Totally agree. And Bobby in our interview spoke about that, didn't she? About how she sort of was honored by some of the Bambi comparisons she was seeing online, but she wanted to clarify that, like, she was worlds apart from Bambi, but she would be so honored to carry that torch, as you said, Tom. What's our feelings in the room here around the table? Micheál, how are you feeling about Powerplay?
Oh, I feel very good. How could you not feel very good about that? Your song started with a bang on Monday because Powerplay is a banger of a song. It's a great song. I love the alternative vibe, the industrial vibe of it. And I remember, like, last year I thought to myself after hearing, you know, Bambi and Ailsa, I thought Ireland has such a great, like, alternative sort of section of music that we have, a genre of music that we have in the country is just brilliant. So I could honestly see Ireland being like, do you know the way you think of Finland as like a rock country? You could see Ireland as an alt country because we have so many amazing artists, and Bobby Arlo is here to show that she is another example of this. And who would have thought that 2 years after Wild Youth won Eurosong 2023 that we'd be sitting here right now after Bambi and having Bobby? Like, I wouldn't have thought it. And I don't know if you guys would have thought, but I definitely wouldn't.
They always seem to wiggle their way back into a conversation, don't they?
No, I'm sorry. But who would have thought? I feel like we've come such a long way. And characters like Bobby and Bambi and Ailsa are just, they're living symbols of the progress that Ireland have made in terms of Eurovision. So yeah, it may not personally be my favourite. It's high up there. But I think it should be the one that we should send. If we're talking about logistics, if we're talking about getting the best score in Eurovision, because God knows I like a good few last places. So, you know, but yeah, personally, it's a great song for me. So yeah.
I think we've all kind of touched on it about kind of Ireland finding our voice in Eurovision. And I think we were talking about it on our live stream one night that we've tried everything, like generic pop and the ballads that are dated. Whereas like you said, Micheál, if we could become that alt country within Eurovision, but also showing versatility in that alt, like obviously Bambi last year was very kind of rock heavy, where this is more kind of pop alt. Oh my God, I can't speak. Pop alt that you would like very easily hear on the radio, unlike Bambi.
Yeah.
Hyperpop, you know, so it would be great to have that, you know, as our voice in Eurovision going forward.
Anything to add, Alex?
I love this song. I think it's 100% going to qualify if it goes to Basel, but I do have one point to bring up to the group, and that is I think Eurosong is possibly going to be the downfall of this entry, and I'm worried. And that's because when I mentioned sound mixing earlier, this is a loud song. Even when you watch Bambi's performance back, Bambi did a fantastic job, but with these loud, like, impactful songs, is it going to come across as it should and as it deserves in that Eurosong studio? That's my biggest worry. I think this should go. I think it probably will go. But if there was one concern I have about it, it's that goddamn Late Late studio.
That's such a good point, Alex. I feel like it was you I was talking to recently where we spoke about that and we were saying, what if this sounds really tinny?
That's my that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. What if it's tinny?
Yeah. I mean, like, what does the group think? Is Eurosong the biggest obstacle, as Alex has said? Like, yeah. I think if we look back at Bambi as well, Bambi really towed the line very well by not doing too much on the Eurosong stage. They had the little bit of choreography, the dancers, the visuals. But Bambi could have never put on the Eurosong stage what they put onto the Eurovision stage, of course. So I suppose, what are we hoping to see here? Are we hoping to see that Bobby will give us like a Powerplay light, you know, a taste of what it will be in Basel, or are we just hoping she'll go all out for Eurosong? What's the better tack? What do you think, Connor?
It's probably got to be, you know, power play light, because we've seen it in the past where you do too much and because it's such a small space, it looks messy, it looks too busy. I think most important, I think people just need to focus on the vocal, and this goes to all of the six artists. Focus on that vocal, make sure you are steady, you can sing the song, and give us like a taste of what you could potentially do through your visuals, through your staging elements. And then people will trust in your vision. That's what we did with Bambi last year. They gave us something small, gave us a steady vocal. Okay, they can sing. And we could see kind of like the start of something in terms of the staging with the monsters and the visuals behind them on the LED screen. That's what you got to do, because if you're trying to make your Eurovision performance in that Eurosong stage, you're getting an F straight off the bat, because there's no way in hell you can do that ultimately. So that's what I believe. What about you guys on the stream there? Tom, go ahead.
I'm going to ask you guys, how much time do they get to prepare? Like, can Bobby go on stage, do the performance, and then watch it back and make changes? Or is she kind of done?
I'm pretty sure it's very little time and very little input that they get.
That's sad to me that there's such a huge restraint in terms of the studio. Because really, the national final should be giving a chance to show the best of the song and really show it off. And instead, we're saying she needs to be very strategic because the sound can be crap and the stage can be crap. It's a little bit disappointing. So I hope that she doesn't get messed over like Alex is saying, because this song does have great potential and the mixing and everything in Basel will be really good. So it's a shame.
Anything to add about Bobby before we move on?
Just that the staging being the fact, like she said, it was hooliganism.
Irish hooligan.
That scares me a bit. I'm not going to lie. I heard that and I thought, I like that she's got a vision, but just from that word, I'm like, how will that fit into her song and her staging?
Mm.
Which she looks like she always has a good visual, you know, representation of herself. She's always, you know, looks very well in terms, like when you go into Instagram and things like that. But the idea of hooliganism and power play, I don't know how that's going to fit in, and I'm a bit nervous with that as well as with the Eurosong sound mixing. So I can honestly see this winning amazingly, but I also can see this crashing and burning, unfortunately. So I really hope that she has all these thoughts in mind before she's preferred her show.
It's a risk for sure. Actually, speaking of the staging and the visuals, we were on a stream, myself, Connor and Alex, and Dalek Creative, who is Bobby's creative director, creative team this year, tapped in. So we started chatting to them and saying, like, can you give us any, you know, teasers, any tips of what's happening? And all Dalek Creative said was, oh, well, there's Easter eggs on socials. There's Easter eggs on socials. So of course, I combed through the socials. And the main things I could see were these kind of promo photos of the shields and like warrior swords, lots of emojis of swords crossed over like that. But that doesn't say Irish hooligan to me. So it'll be interesting to see.
Irish hooligan for me gives Elsha last year. And we saw how that ended up, you know, that kind of school retro with the kegs and the hurls, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Or are we talking about balaclavas and knee pads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Northerner in me.
Cries in Northern Ireland.
So, yeah, I'm just hoping that her definition of hooliganism is maybe slightly different to mine.
Tom, go ahead.
So one final thing is I did a reaction to the Irish songs on my YouTube channel, and the comments for Bobby, she had by far the most positive comments from international fans. And also she's leading the Eurovision scoreboard. So this song, by far, from what I've seen, has gotten the best reception from the Eurovision community. And final thing is, can you imagine Bobby with Sergio Hayen, who did the artistic direction from last year? That is like my fantasy couple. I need that to happen because they would be so amazing together. They would love each other's aesthetic. It could be such a great result.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Connor, who are we moving on to next?
We're moving on from Power Play to Fire, because the next song we are talking about is Railta and Fire. Eurovision. Amber, Amber.
Closer, alert, warmer, faster, stove the fire. Fire.
And there we have it. That is Railta with the song Fire. Tom, you are hiding behind your hands there, so I'll come to you first.
Do you want to come to me later, maybe?
Michal.
I like what this is bringing. It's given something that feels sonically very Irish. It feels something that I think maybe a lot of Eurovision fans have been wanting from Ireland, this ethereal, mystic, in the hills of Ireland vibe. But I said I was going to start positive. I think this is a visual song. I think it needs a performance to come to life. And from her Instagram stories asking for mummers in particular, which is an Irish tradition, I think that could be visually exciting. It could be a lot of storytelling on stage, which could make it more appealing. But like, on its own as an audio, I think the chorus maybe falls flat at times. It's not super engaging, but the outro is what drew me in, like that real traditional Celtic-y sound, which I think also would be nice to have that as our voice at a modern contest as well. But I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's competitive enough. I don't know if this would qualify. I would worry. I wouldn't worry with Bobby, but I would worry with this and probably the others as well.
I'll go next. So I firstly have to state my bias on this song. And I know, I think you guys don't know this, but my sister is going to be dancing for Railta on Eurosong.
Go Kim!
Yeah. This wasn't something we knew weeks ago. She only got cast like a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. So I know some inside scoop on it. They are going big.
Eurovision exclusive.
Yeah, Eurovision exclusive is that they're taking a big swing, is what I would say.
Taking a big swing.
Make of that what you will. But the song itself, I really like. No, Connor.
Chandelier, like.
Okay, no, we're not talking chandeliers, Connor. Sonically, I do really like the song. When I listened through all of them, it was one of my favourites. I think, to go back to Michal's point, its biggest weakness is its chorus. It's too repetitive. But what I'm hoping will happen is, if we take a look back at Connolly and Michal, Glasgow Michal, you're going to hate this. I did not get Connolly at all when she came out with Midnight Summer Night. Like, didn't get it. It may have been bottom of my list.
This is why we don't trust
this. However, when I saw the live performance and she added those beautiful vocals, the movement, the yodeling, the decisive movement, it was perfect. I was like, straight to my number one. That was fantastic. What I'm hoping is we get some really good vocals on this. And visuals will matter a lot, as you said as well, Michal, because I think it's a beautiful song, but it will need very strong visuals in Basel as well. How is that going to fare out on the Eurosong stage? Time will tell. Any other?
I don't have a huge amount to add other than I totally agree that I like the ethereal feel of it and the Celtic feel, but the chorus leaves a lot to be desired. The verses are actually quite strong, and I agree, Michal. I love the outro and the it's not quite Shano singing because it's not a cappella, but the strings and the instruments in the end is so gorgeous. But yeah, the chorus could definitely have a lift in it somewhere just to keep the song on a better trajectory. Ryan Jacquesy, as we know, is involved in the songwriting of this song. So I feel as though he's a good addition to Railta's team and might help to steer it in a good direction in terms of staging and such. And, you know, Alex has implied that they are cooking. So Let's see.
I'm not saying what recipe they're using, but they are cooking something. They're cooking something. It's a big swing is what I'll say. So, yeah. And I agree. I think the verses are the strongest part. Plus that last bit. I just hope she brings the Connolly flair to it.
I think this is definitely one that will need a live performance because you just know her vocal is going to be absolutely amazing. Delivering that like fire. But listening to it, I do find it a bit boring in the chorus. I don't get that kind of wow moment. Again, repetitive. I need to see this live. And, you know, if she brings a swing, fair play to her. You know, it needs something, a bit of a slide, something. Or, you know, give me, what were they, Michal, murmurs or something? Or memers or...
Murmurs.
Tom's been very quiet. Fill us in on your thoughts, Tom.
Yes, this is also my only skip. I actually think if you take all six songs, this is an amazing EP. Like, I love putting this mini album on when I'm out and about, but I do skip this song. The verses are very lovely. There's a delicateness to them. The chorus for me is so flat. It's not interesting, and it's very simple. So I don't think this will qualify, unless the staging was, like, incredibly wow. But, yeah, my gut is it would be an NQ. The other thing that kind of irks me a little bit, I got to bring this up, I'm sorry, is last year she was one of the 600 artists who signed the letter saying that we should not go to Eurovision and Bambi shouldn't go, which is absolutely fine, totally entitled to do that. But then to turn around next year and enter Eurosong is a slightly confusing 180 for me. So I don't see how you can be against us and then entering Eurosong yourself. I don't know if she's addressed that and explained why. I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me, but... yeah, that's just my opinion.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, totally fair. Yeah. Totally fair.
No, I haven't, to my knowledge, seen Railta address it online, but the information's readily available online. It's been pointed out on TikTok that she did sign it. So I would also be curious to know.
Yeah, I'd be curious as well. And considering us last year as well, we saw Erica Cody was one of those names on that list as well. Again, it goes back to slightly hypocritical in a way, you know, of competing in Eurosong 2024 and then going on to sign the letter. Whereas,
when
you know,
it suits.
When it suits, would have been in the same position.
I totally agree. 100% agree.
Yeah, but like, again, a simple explanation.
Or maybe she's changed her mind. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But we shall move on to the next song.
Yes, yes. A very familiar face to us all, of course. He is back. It's Aji. And this time, he is bringing his song, Run Into the Night. Aerovision. Run away and run into them. So, is Aji walking, running, sprinting? He's bringing his sister, of course, this time. It's a family affair. And that's nice, actually, when you think of last year, Ailsa had her brother, Padir, on stage with her. Mm-hmm. And now this year we have another Eurosong entrant bringing their sibling on stage. Very sweet. So, yes, Jenny Carr, Andrew's sister, Aji's sister, will be playing the violin, very Celtic vibe, which seems to be a little bit of a theme in Eurosong this year. Nice that all of the songs, of course, aren't the exact same, but this very much applies to Aji's song, Run Into the Night. We'll switch it up and start with you, Glasgow Michal. What are you feeling on this one?
I love this. I really, really love this. I'm going to talk about like the good things first. So for me, like, I really think that the Celtic vibe in the song really lends itself to like an Irish identity, and it's easy to listen to and it's beautiful. I love the violin in it. I love the visual he's even given us already. There's so much like brilliant things with me, and honestly, song wise, this is my favorite now. It recently has changed because upon first listen, and this is my one critique on it, upon first listen, I wasn't really thinking, oh, this is a great song or a bad song or something like that. In my head, it was just like oh, this is fine. This is lovely. Like, this is a lovely song, but it's not going to do any impact. And it's only now after like a good few listens that I'm like, oh, I really, really love this. So for its potential of doing well at Eurovision, I don't see that happening unless he has like incredible staging, which in Adji's past he hasn't fully shown that, but I think he's grown as an artist, and I'm obviously willing to give him the chance to show us again that he can prove that. So although I said like a lot of negative stuff, it is my favorite song at the moment, so yeah, I really love it. I think it's great. I just don't see it doing well in the contest, unfortunately. It doesn't have that grip.
Alex, you loved Too Good For Your Love back in 2023. What do you think of Run Into The Night?
I did. I was a Too Good For Your Love stan from day one. I really like the song to listen to. One thing I think Adji does really well is bring that production that we don't get on some of the other songs. It's probably one of the best produced songs. It's very listenable. He obviously got help from Ukraine with lots of experience. Fantastic thing to do. Obviously, the biggest kind of question mark is he going to be able to pull it off live? I think he will do a better job because he's not going to be relying on dancing and concentrating on other things, which hopefully will be to his benefit, because as you said, guys, earlier, this should be a taste of what's to come. We don't need all the dancers. We don't need everything, you know, thrown into this. We just need a really solid vocal and give the best performance that he can. I don't think it's competitive, though. I don't think it's competitive enough. If it went to Basel, I think it would struggle to qualify. We'd be having these conversations around this very same table going, oh, if they did this, maybe. Oh, well, what if this happened? And we can't do that. I'm sick of that. No more. I want someone who we can go, absolutely, this is going to qualify. And I don't think it will. But Adji seems like a lovely person. Again, really well produced. I really love listening to it. But I don't think it's competitive enough for Eurovision. What about you guys?
I love this song. I really, really like it. I think this is a beautiful song. Is it competitive? Probably not, to be honest. But I think this is something that is often, you know, when people talk about Ireland and Eurovision, sometimes people like look for that Irish sound. And I think this is probably the most Irish sounding song amongst the six that we have. Obviously, like Lou said earlier, we do have this kind of Celtic vibe going on this year. This is definitely the best out of those bunch of songs, in my opinion. I think this probably is the song amongst the six that it probably lent itself best to that Eurosong stage. It's not very easy to mess up, in my opinion. I think the biggest thing for Adji will be his vocal on the night. If he gets that right, I think this could surprise people and do maybe better than people are maybe planning for this to do. At Eurovision, yeah, is it competitive? I think it could qualify. But is it going to be a top 10 or a top 15? Probably not. Probably would be a bottom five in the final. But look, I wouldn't be against this going because I do like the song. But is it our best shot at Eurovision? Probably not. But I really appreciate what he's done, and fair play to him for coming back because it takes guts.
Totally agree with you, Connor, there. Yeah, I really like the song. I don't know if it will be my top pick at the minute, but I think there's great potential with this. I think sharing the stage with the sister will be really lovely. I think there's opportunity for great camera angles to focus on her with the violin. Eurovision audiences just love a violin generally. I don't know what it is. And I think we've scoped for good camera angles. And so on. There's a little bit less for Adji to do than there was with his previous entry. So hopefully he can just focus more on getting that vocal across. Micheál, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think he's gorgeous. Those photos are lovely. Have you seen him? Like, I was like, hello, like, Adji.
Blonde bombshell enters the Eurosong villa.
You know what I mean? I says, all right, Donegal, what's happening? I was like, okay. But no, this, guys, variety's the spice of life. I'm glad it's here. But this is not a step in the right direction for us at the competition. This is not competitive. But here, we did a Eurosong reaction video, and I was surprised at how well this one was perceived. Like, and I think that's what is so interesting. Look at me pushing Eurovision hub, but you get perspectives of people from like Armenia and France, and you hear that, okay, like they really like this. That they were saying this is a radio hit. This is what, like you said, Connor, this is what people look for in Ireland. And so I don't agree with them. Like, I don't want this to go. This shouldn't go. It's nice to be there. He's beautiful. His sisters as well. We love a fiddle. But this one isn't for me at all.
Is it for you, Tom?
First of all, I got to mention about Too Good For Your Love, because that was an incredible song. And what we were talking about earlier about being defeated by The Late Late Show, I think he got a little bit defeated by The Late Late Show, because that stage just did not suit him then. I love the song. It's super mellow, really calm. This reminds me of, like, if Enya's son wrote a song, it's kind of got that Enya feel, but it's a little bit more modern. There's Celtic vibes in it, but I think the Celtic vibes is a double-edged sword, because it can come across a little bit gimmicky sometimes, like with Ryan Dolan and Kian Lynn. But it's interesting what Micheál's saying, that some of the foreign people listening to it do actually like that sound. So I'll be interested to see what the international jury rank it, because that might give a good indicator how it's going to be received on the continent. It's a lovely song. For me, it's a bit too background. I don't think it would qualify. Even though it's my number five on my playlist, my number five in my rankings, and I still love it. And I think that's a testament to how good this year is, that I still love my fifth place song.
Signs of a strong selection. Okay. Also, sorry, when you said that Enya comment, Tom, I just remember on the Eurovision socials when we posted our like reaction video to the artist, you posted a comment where you were like guessing them and you were saying like, Enya, you too, Niall Horan, like whatever you were saying. And it was very well received online. It was
Enya and you two would be the dream together. Or a collaboration.
Oh, so where are we going to next, Connor?
We're going to Norway next, funny Jesus. Enough.
Speaking of violins.
We're going to Norway, but we're actually going to space as well, because we're all around the world with this one. Yeah, Emmy from MGP, most people remember her from. Popping up in Eurosong 2025 with her song Like a Party. Let's take a listen. Eurovision. Like I never die, and that she spins around us still, and that she has a party in the air and always will. I hope that she is dancing every night among the stars. I hope Like a is alive, and like a party in the sky. Like a party in the sky. Like a Party, Emmy. Let's start positive with this one, I guess. Micheál, you have a big smile on your face over in the corner there. Let's see.
God, I've never said the word bum in my life so much. It's just great. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. Me and Micheál's text the last 2 weeks have just been bum, 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 bum.
With like a heart. A purple heart. Bum and purple heart. In capital letters, of course. So much. I don't think I have much negative to say about this. I love the story of this. This has lyricism to it. This has a story. This has a plot. This has a start. This has, unfortunately, a sad end. But we're in the middle for the journey for the party, and I'm loving it. It's just a bop, and it's great. Yes, does it sound Norwegian? Yes, but do I care? Absolutely not. I do not care that she's Norwegian. I've heard this talking point before. I really don't care, because realistically, people are going to be watching Eurovision and they're going to say, here, there's your one with that rocket ship. In my head, she's going to have staging of a rocket ship in it. Like, I feel like it's just going to be, you know, dancing, a rocket ship, starry sky, and her cute little face, her cute little voice singing away. And I'm just absolutely just love it. And from first listen, it was my favorite. And I think it has such a great impact when you hear it for the first time. And honestly, I can see this qualifying quite handily. As for in the final, I don't know how far it would go. I wouldn't say top 10, absolutely not. But I think if we want to celebrate qualifying for a second time, I think that she would not be a bad choice for us. So yeah, I'm a bit of an Emmy defender here in the Eurovision podcast.
I'll go next, because I do also love this song. And it's like on my repeat, and like I had like a real moment when I realized what this was about. It took me like a good week or something for like the penny to drop. But like, ham it up, camp it up, like put Laika's face, put that little dog all over the screens, like bring the astronauts, like let's go. I'm here for it. I love it. But I think I love it as part of the selection. Like, I love it being there. I love streaming it. I'm glad it's in the six. But then the other part of me, more analytical Irish Eurovision fan who's been in the trenches, is kind of also thinking, like, I don't know if this is what I want in our story in Eurovision. Like, I don't know if I want this to be the follow-up to Bambi, you know, and to be the next stepping stone, I guess, in our Eurovision journey. There's probably other entries, definitely two in this lineup, I think would be a far superior follow-up to Bambi and kind of alternative music and all the things that we spoke about. But I can't help the bum. Bum, bum, but a bum, 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 bum. Love it. And I can't wait to see the staging as well. Connor, I don't know if you agree with us.
Is anyone else positive? I don't want to go negative. Just okay.
Then
it's us two, Alex. Michal, you go first.
Yeah, this song is instant. It's nostalgic. It's catchy. Like, it's the one out of all six that I resonated and went to very quickly. It reminds me of the early 2000s Vengo Boys, like that Euro dancey pop, which I'm a sucker for. Like Lou said, I need the staging to be as chaotic as it sounds sonically. Like, go all in with this one, have fun with it. Now, again, I agree with all of you. Okay, sorry, not Michal. I don't think this should go, but this should finish top three at Eurosong. And I think it adds something. It's strengthening the lineup sonically. And again, it's just showing variety and inclusivity, because that's what we are in Ireland. So yeah, that's my wee short but sweet thing. I'm delighted to have Emmy in our national final.
Tom, go ahead.
This is my favorite song about dead dogs that I've ever heard. I love these lyrics. Now, the thing is, I do reaction videos to pretty much every single national final, so I hear so much crap. The same nonsense, love from above, I will stand strong, I will stand tall. So repetitive. So hearing a song about something new for me is so unbelievably refreshing. Even if it's about like at the space dog, I don't care. Totally exhilarating for me to hear something new. So I love these lyrics, even though some people will say that they're trashy. I don't care. I'm sick of generic, meaningless lyrics. For me, this is quintessentially Norwegian. I'm a huge MGP fan. I don't know if she entered it there, but I love MGP. This sounds 1,000,000,000% MGP. So that's a little bit of a concern for me, because it has like zero Irish identity. So as much as I love this, and I think it's a super fun, upbeat song, Bambi took us in a step of the right direction last year. I think this is going to be a step backwards, because this moves away from an Irish identity. And I think I don't care a Norwegian person going first. That doesn't bother me at all. But I think some of the Irish artists might think, well, they're not even picking us. They're picking somebody else outside the country to go instead. And maybe that might dent their confidence. I'm not saying that's right, but I think that might happen. And maybe next year we might get less entries or something. I'm not sure. Like Michal, I would love this to come second, because I think it's a great song. And in fairness, if she kills the performance and she wins. Fair play to her.
Alex, go ahead.
I have a lot to say. Let me start with the positives. This song for an entertainment show makes a good selection. It makes the show overall more entertaining. I think it will make a better show.
I don't think it needs to be emulated in every single Irish Eurovision entry. For example, Bambi Thug. That's like, there's nothing really Irish screaming about that, except the fact that Bambi is Irish. But if we're talking about the sound and things like that, I don't really care in that way. For me, like that national, like I don't know, this whole, it needs to have an Irish flair or an Irishness about it, I don't really mind, because, you know, like, one of the songwriters is Irish. So, and that's happy enough. Like, I'm happy enough with that, because if the song's good enough, I think it should be there based on merit.
Yeah. And if the Irish public vote for this, absolutely, I'll get behind it.
Yeah. I don't think the Irish public will vote for it. Personally, I don't.
But, like, if they do, I would love that. That would be great. But I don't think that an Irish, like, Eurovision, Ireland needs to send everything that's uniquely Irish. I don't think so. I just think if an Irish person or if someone who's Irish writes a song that's good enough, then I think it's fair enough.
I actually agree with both of you. I think Micheál's right. Like, if it's the best song, it should go. Absolutely, like, you know, based on merit. But I also agree with Alex that this has no Irish. It's not that it doesn't have an Irish identity. It's that it has such a strong Norwegian identity. Like, me listening to it, I was like, this sounds so Norwegian. But maybe casuals might not even notice that, and they might not even care. Maybe that's just me because I watch so much MGP. But this is, like, a really quintessential Norwegian song in its production.
Connor, wrap us up.
Yeah, I'm very much like Team Alex on this. I think this is, if we were in Eurosong 2022, I could perfectly get behind this song and love it. And, you know, I'll party to this at Euroclub and, you know, Eurobashes for the rest of my time on this earth or in space with Laika. It's a great song. Perfect for Norway. For Ireland, I don't think we need this song in our selection. Ultimately, our music culture is so rich, it's so diverse, and I think like I said, like Eurosong 2008, 2014, I could perfectly see this song amongst the crowd of selection. But like for me, I personally think there was probably better songs in the shortlist that deserved a space over this one, in my personal opinion.
And one more point I just wanted to make, again, I actually like the song, I love the story behind it. I even think it could overshadow like Ireland's participation in Eurovision for the next 6 months if this goes. I don't think the Irish public would react well to it.
Can I add one tidbit that's like very separate to this whole conversation? And I don't know if we've spoken about this on the podcast yet or how much it's been covered online, but there actually was a Laika song in MGP in 2016. Did anybody know this?
Someone left a comment telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was you mentioned it, Tom. So I just did a quick search as we were chatting there. The song is called Laika, and it's by The Hungry Hearts featuring Lisa Dillon, and it was in Melody Grand Prix 2016.
No way, I remember this.
And it's all about the dog, and like some of the lyrics are, a lonely heart drum beat out in space, repeats a heartbeat forever lost, floating like a dream in an empty room, a weightless Laika looking at the moon, a homeless shadow trapped in the cosmic computer, a little curly dog embraced by endless space, an echo of her life floating like a dream, forever lost in the Sputnik space machine. So I just thought it was an interesting fact. I'm not adding to that conversation. I just wanted to bring in.
Like Tom said, this would hinder us so much. This would not take us forward. Even Samantha Mumba that we'll talk about later on, Samantha would take us a step further than Laika would, personally.
So I wanted to bring up as a fun thing.
Are we going to have a moment of silence?
Just as a fun fact.
Like,
so, yes. Okay. Let's move on. Speaking of Samantha Mumba, we are going to her entry next. Samantha Mumba is bringing her song in her way. It's called My Way. So, Samantha Mumba, My Way. Micheál O'Kane, kick us off, please. She's a pop girly for us 2000s girlies, 2000s children. I know you were one of them. Girls Aloud, Nadine Coyle, we've had all the chats. Tell us, what are you thinking of Samantha's Hat in the Ring this year?
My wee pop prince heart exploded when I heard that Samantha Mumba was taking part. But I think that part of me wanted... gotta tell you, Mumba, I want the baby coming over, Mumba. I don't know if my pop heart is really loving or enjoying My Way, Mumba. I think this sounds like what a non-Eurovision fan thinks would do well at Eurovision, and they're a bit out of tune by like 10, 15, 20 years. I think it's kind of like what Wild Youth did. They wrote a song that they think does well at Eurovision, and what does well at Eurovision is authenticity, and I've never heard Samantha Mumba release a song like this. So therefore, I'm kind of like, oh. And I heard her on the Nikki Byrne podcast saying that she wants to Irish dance. She wants to bring Irish dancers on. And I'm like, at what point? Oh, this was before her announcement, by the way. This could have all changed. But I'm just like, oof. But I heard her live on all of your stories over the weekend, and she sounded great. So that's good. We have a vocalist. I see your faces, maybe Instagram. I don't know. But you know, this just gives Pirates of the Caribbean, it's given soundtrack, and it's given, like I said in my reaction, it's given, I'm looking out over the seven seas and I'm going to like see if someone, like, this is not it. This, again, this is not the direction we should go. I don't even think this should have been in the top six either. If we're going on name alone, then that's just not fair. But I understand we want to get reach. We want to get publicity. We want people talking about it. Therefore, we bring in Samantha Mumba. She seems really lovely and very humble about it. And I just wish that maybe she just had a better song and better package. But I know it's very polarizing, because I know that some of you really like it. So that's just me. What about you guys?
I don't really like it. Anybody?
I like it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm in the minority here. It isn't one of my favorite songs, I have to say. But I do enjoy it. And I think, like, she's an experienced performer, obviously. I think that the lyrics, although they sound inauthentic, the way she speaks about it, though, I believe her. Like, it feels authentic when she's speaking about it on the podcast. And she's such a honey, let's just say. Like, when I was watching that, my heart just melted. She's just such a lovely person. I think the structure of the song is a bit confusing, but I like that. It challenges my brain. And like, whenever the beat picks up and the violin comes in, as you said, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, I feel like I'm swinging from ropes, I'm walking the plank. Like, I am, like, I've got an eye patch above my eye. It just feels so fun and lovely. And she's got a great vocal. Should we send this? Absolutely not. No, we should not send this. I'm like, there's no way that this would do well in any stretch of the imagination. But I think it's a good song, and I listened to it over some of the other ones, maybe. So, yeah, that's how I feel.
I want to just add in some some good things about this entry. She's going to be really experienced on TV, and that is something that can really play to your benefit with Euro Song, right? When we talk about a 45-minute camera rehearsal, that is not a lot of time. We've discussed this already. That could be setting up lights, you know, changing your mic, testing your, making sure your dancer's in the right spot, stopping and starting. She is someone who has done this 100 times over, and I don't think any of the other artists in Eurosong can say that. So I do think that's going to play to her strength. She will know where to look. She'll know where the camera is. I personally thought her vocals were very strong in her live performance in the George. I know it's a challenging environment anyway, because it's not set up to be a concert, you know, in a bar. I thought she sounded really strong. She did sing a cappella at one point. So she sang the whole song the way through, and then they turned off the music and she sang a cappella, and I thought she sounded really, really strong. So I think that will be her biggest strength, is that experience, her vocals, knowing where to look. She's obviously very charismatic. She's beautiful as well. She will look incredible. I think she's going to bring Irish dancers. I'd say once it starts to kick, you were mentioning, like, once the violins come in, I'm imagining the Irish dancers come out. That's where I maybe think we might see it pick up. The song, for me, not strong enough to go to Eurovision, but I'm hoping that the performance on the night is what brings it up a notch and maybe makes it more of a contender. But as it is right now, one of my biggest pet peeves about this song is the last 10 seconds. There's like three random beats. Yeah. What is that? It sounds like something that was left in and they never took out. It adds nothing to the song. And that is just like how, I don't know. It does irk me a little bit. But I'm interested to see. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next because I don't have much else to say. I think I can understand what Samantha was trying to do with this. It feels as if she ran out of time and had to submit the song for this deadline that she was given, and it's not finished. Like, she told us in our interview with her that this was originally like an intro song to an album. That worries me because it takes like a minute and 30 seconds to actually get going. And by then, you've lost half the audience, especially when it comes to Eurovision, because you have 3 minutes to impress people to vote for you. So a minute and a half into a song to actually get going, for me, that's a big issue. It's a shame because she has a phenomenal voice. Michal, you were talking about her back catalogue. Like, it is amazing. And I would have loved to have seen something more like that. Like The Lie, I don't know if anyone has listened to it. 2 years ago, she released it. It is amazing. I've been listening to that more than My Way. And I love that track. If she sent that, she would have had an actual chance of going to Eurovision. With My Way, it's as if it's a last minute assignment in school and she's ran out of time and she said, you know what, let me just submit it. And that's a shame, because I do think Samantha could do something at Eurovision with the right song. But with this one, for me, it's a no, unfortunately. Unless she like revamps it. If she does win and revamps it to fuck, amazing. But like with this current incarnation of the song, it is so messy. The editing is really poor, I think. And like Alex said, like that random synth at the end, like where does that come from? Like,
It has no relevance to the song.
It's like GarageBand. They said, oh, that sounds great, let's pop it in at the end for the big crack.
The R&B bar, yeah.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And Michal, you said as well, she has no songs like this. And that's a worry. You know, you want to hear something that's like in the realms of what we're used to from, you know, hearing from Samantha Mumba. Whereas, Jesus, I don't know where this has come from.
I'll be super quick as well. I agree, like, with elements of what everybody said. Like Alex said, Samantha's going to bring a wealth of experience and she's got a phenomenal voice. And like, I agree with Michal, she looks fantastic. She looks like a pop star. She sounds like a pop star. She is a pop star. And a beautiful personality and such a like glowing person. Like, there was just like warmth emanating from her when we spoke to her. And I totally agree with Connor about like the layout of the song and it sounding unfinished. Like, I agree with elements of what everybody has said. I think maybe what went wrong here is that Samantha has put forward something that she thinks is a Eurovision sound, when actually we would just love something from her catalogue, something that, you know, she's been working on for an album. Like, we want Samantha. We don't want Samantha at Eurovision, because we always talk about like, well, what is a Eurovision song? Like, it could be anything. It just has to be true to the artist. Tom, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on My Way.
So first of all, I got to say, she did kind of subvert my expectations of the song. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I actually quite like the dramatic buildup. I think it's pretty cool. And I love, you guys are all talking about Pirates of the Caribbean. For me, it's Game of Thrones. I love that Game of Thrones fiddle. Like, I've been dying for someone to send a Game of Thrones song for ages. So I've got my fix of that. In terms of a performer, I think she's going to be the safest pair of hands. Like you guys have said, she's got a great voice. She's got presence. She's going to feel confident. She's got that experience. So I feel like Wild Youth, they kind of won because they were the best on stage. Their song wasn't the best, but they just performed so solidly. I think she could be a little bit of a wild card to win just based off of that. For me, all 60 songs go into three tiers. There's two songs I think have great potential, and I really want them to compete for the win. Sam is in my second tier, which are kind of like backup songs, which is Like a Party and Her. These are like solid songs, which if the two best ones don't deliver, she can step up and be like a solid backup. I'm sorry to call her backup. That's not very nice, but you get what I mean. And also one final point is name recognition in Eurovision. Bonnie Tyler, Darude, people don't care. Like, the fact that she's been a big name in the past, that's not going to carry any weight outside of the UK. And we get points in the UK anyway. So if we're saying, oh, we should send a big star because of that, nah, nobody's going to care. 99% of people won't know who she is. I think more sense is to send it because she's going to be so solid. We don't need to worry about her getting nervous or vocals being off. She looks gorgeous. She's going to be perfect on the night. Guaranteed.
There we have it. I can't believe we're discussing Samantha Mumba. Yeah, like in a Eurosong conversation. It's so, so cool.
We all seem to be wanting a different Samantha Mumba to what we've gotten from her this time around. But we'll wait and see on the night, of course.
Maybe it will grow on us.
Yeah, maybe her way will grow us. And speaking of growth.
Speaking of growth. Thank you, Connor, for getting my second.
Speaking of growth, we are going to talk about the final song in our Eurosong 2025 lineup. It is Niall with Growth. Air Revision. Universe, chemical. And that is song number 6, Niall Groat. Micheál, Glasgow Micheál, I will come to you first. What do you think of Groat?
Do I want to go to someone else first?
Everyone's like, no, no.
Go to someone else.
Who's positive now? Who's open? Okay. The girlies.
Yay! Positive Paul has gone, Alex.
No, you start.
I don't have a massive amount to say. Other than like, this isn't my genre of song. So like, I'm trying to like judge this, removing my own personal like music taste and bias. I think the song is like, it's a decent song. It's not, you know, when Tom's speaking about tears, to me personally, it isn't like in my top tier sonically this year. However, I think as a package, this could actually really be something. We know that Niall is amazing live. Like he could vocally, possibly along with Samantha, he could vocally blow the competition out of Studio 4. I don't want to say this because I am privy to Eurovision jury results, but even before our jury results started coming in, so this is like a little bit of a teaser, we'll say, that he may have pretty much done quite well. I do think the juries will probably reward this a little bit, just in terms of his presentation and vocal ability. I suppose it's all about the growth of the song. And I'm so sorry how it kind of goes on a journey on the stage, because I think if it's as linear as it's sounding in studio, then you know he could run into trouble in terms of maintaining people's attention. I think he could capture people's attention, but it's about maintaining it for those 3 minutes. I want loads of vocal runs at the end. I want clean camera angles, please, love of God, RT. I want, you know, great facial expressions from Niall and for him to just sing his heart out. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, I love this song. I really love the chorus. I think it's really catchy. I think absolutely his vocals are going to stand out 100%. A big thing that I've been talking about is, I suppose, authenticity and its connection to Ireland throughout all of the songs. This is, in my opinion, the most radio friendly and probably the most reflective of where we are in the Irish music industry. A male up-tempo vocal song. You look at Dermot Kennedy, Hozier, Cian DeCroix. It really is in that ilk, in my opinion. It sounds like something that I could hear released from any of them. I do think maybe where it falls down for me is in its repetitiveness. But I go back to that Connolly example. I think if he brings in these beautiful vocal flourishes, absolutely, I think he could do a fantastic job. He's going to be very reliable on the night, 100%. We talked about Samantha Mumba. I think we can pretty much guarantee he's going to deliver. It's all about that end. My favourite part of the song is when it gets real rocky at the end. There's like about 20 seconds where it really picks up, and I'd like a little bit more of that in the song. But overall, I think it's a great entry. Again, it's not my number one, but it definitely sits in my mid-range to high range. Very interested to see this live.
I'm positive about this one. I really am. Like, we always wanted something that represented or reflected Irish music and the Irish music industry now. And as Alex said really well, like this is it, I think. This is what is current and what I think represents Irish music right now on the radio. And we always wanted something that represents and shows a modern and inclusive Ireland. And he does that. You know, he talks about amplifying queer culture in the music industry in Ireland. So he does that very well as a good voice and ambassador. And he's got a voice that when you listen to the studio version, you know that it sounds exactly the same and if not better in person. So I think we're in safe hands with him as well. When it comes to vocally, like even with the sound engineering and mixing problems that you might face in the Late Late Show, I think he'll overcome them. Do I think the song needs a little bit of a Eurovision revamp? 100% yes, but I think that can all come. And I think this sound will really resonate with the Irish public watching this. And as someone might have just said, this might pick up a good few points from the Irish public. If it represented us, I'd still worry a wee bit. I'd worry about everyone except for Bobby.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know if you know Maurice Ravel, who wrote Bolero, which is a classical music piece. This, for me, is a 3-minute mini Irish bolero. Do you guys know what that is, or is that too obscure a reference? I just love the growth. I love how it starts off really simple, and then he just builds on it. My insiders are telling me this had a revamp from the shortlist to now. So that shows he's open to criticism and open to changing the song, I think. I've also heard that he's incredible live, which for me is like great. I don't need to worry about him being nervous or having dodgy vocals when he gets to Basel. I hope he goes for big staging. I want to see him starting off really small and crouched with the flicker of a flame. And I want the song to add and add and add. And I want it to be a freaking bonfire at the end. I want to see him go big with the staging, come up with a big idea. It doesn't have to take up the whole stage. He can stay in one space. I'd love to see swirling and whirling around him and just get a crescendo. And I spoke earlier about tiers. This is in my top tier. Him and Bobby, for me, are the two people who push Ireland forward the most, which I think next year we'd have a really better Eurosong, because I think it's independent Irish music. It's saying to anyone who's independent in Ireland, you've got a chance to win and get this huge platform to 180 million people. So yeah, I really, really love this. I think he'd be a great representative for him. I want him or Bobby to duke it out, and whoever has the best staging and performance wins.
Funny.
Yeah, I think this is a song that people will probably sleep on the most out of the six. I think this is going to come alive with the live vocal, because we all can agree that Niall has an incredible vocal. We've seen it on his Instagram. And I think when you add in, like, obviously the live vocal of the song we know already, but the ad-libs that he's been talking about and teasing on his Instagram, it will come alive. I'm loving the little kind of like music video visualizers that he's been popping up on his Instagram as well. You can kind of get that feel of, like you were saying, Tom, the swirling, the kind of dramatic energy that's going on with maybe the movements that's going on with Niall himself and around him, that can really add particularly to the small space within Eurosong. I think this will do better than people think, and it could be a dark horse to win Eurosong if everything else falters down. Is it my personal taste in music? No, but I kept saying this throughout the build up to this, that there's always these songs at Eurovision that kind of go under the radar a bit. People don't really talk much about, don't really like it. It's like, oh yeah, it's there, it's all right. And then suddenly it comes with amazing staging and blows the socks off people. And suddenly they just come out of the woodwork and suddenly like a top 10, kind of like Isaac last year. I think this is much obviously better than Isaac last year, but that suddenly, what was it, like it got top 10, didn't it? Or
yeah,
just
say left hand side, definitely.
Left hand side.
The jury, and he was 12th overall.
Exactly. So this could definitely be that type of song, and I think it's better than Isaac's entry last year. So I think this is one to watch. And like Lou said, obviously our results kind of preview what we were kind of saying, if this is one to watch. And particularly as well, I always note how radio stations take the artists, you know, when they're first announced. Today FM played him, his song straight off the bat. So that's a big thing of having a big radio station, nationwide station like Today FM, backing you from day dot. So he'll have more support than people initially think, I reckon.
And an Irish jury as well, Connor, just to tag on to what you're saying there. An Irish jury tends to always have these kind of radio people, producers, voting in them. And this is like a very Irish radio friendly song. The ilk, like Alex was pointing out, of Dermot Kennedy, Kinty Crow. So I could see
And we saw that last year with Jay Yellow L. You know, I think he came third in the Irish jury, and that's because he does have a strong 2FM backing with his other tracks, you know. So name recognition, definitely, like you said, with the national jury will go a long way. And I think he could be someone that does just consistently well amongst the three juries, and then suddenly could you know, take it. Let's say Bobby falls flat in one jury, you know, if Niall's consistent through them all, he could be heading to Basel. So
you could get 3/8 and win Eurosong. It is possible.
Yeah.
If other people falter. Micheál?
I'll start with the positives. Love his voice. He's got a great voice. We all agree with that. Amazing. I think that the song has potential. And then that leads me to everything that I don't like about the song. Because for me, the biggest issue is the production. Because I really think that the song itself is not a bad song. It just, for me, is very, very forgettable. And I, when I think of Eurosong 2025, I don't think of Growth. I think of all, maybe all the other songs. I'm thinking about Bobby. I'm thinking about Like a Party. I'm thinking about Aji. Like, I'm thinking about everyone else that I always seem to think, oh yeah, Niall's in it too. And I shouldn't be thinking like that. I actually disagree with you, Alex, about how the song should be. I know the song is Growth and it is supposed to grow, but I personally really would like that rock part of the growth a bit earlier on. And I really personally...
I agree with you. The rock part of the end.
I think that the rock part of the end could come a bit earlier, and then maybe at the end have like full on, as he's doing the like, those like high notes, you know what I mean? I feel like it could be a cappella with a few singers in, and it could be like very like a few harmony in there and end quite like boom with just a cappella in the same way that Railta kind of has that going on in her song a little bit, but I think it would really suit his song. And I just, for me, felt like the production was very messy, and that's kind of why I'm like not a huge fan of the song. Another thing that I'm not a huge fan of is the lyrics, especially in the chorus. It's like, universe, chemical, feel the love. I'm like, we've heard this at Eurovision, and I'm like, just sing a song about a dead dog. Like, I'm kidding. But what I mean is that, like...
He's not. That's the story. He's not kidding either.
Not really. But I do... I do think that the lyrics... I don't know. I personally struggled to, like, for one, I struggle to remember the melody. Like, just before earlier, I was asking you guys, how's it go? I forget. And I struggle to see the vision or the meaning of the song. And I don't know. I'm not the average Eurovision viewer, but I think that a lot of people would think the same about the song. But in saying that, you know, he's got a great voice. If he comes to great staging, I could see him singing through and winning. I don't see him storming any of the three juries, but as Lou said, like, if he gets 888, he could definitely go to Eurovision and represent us. Would he qualify? I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't be confident in it. Would I support him? Absolutely. He's a queer icon. He can really sing from Ireland. Absolutely. Yeah. No hate to him. I just, personally, the song's not for me.
I did the maths. You'd have to get 8810.
Oh.
Yeah. After I said it, I was like, damn, Lou, not right. Anyway, 8 out of 10, you could get and win Eurosong. Speaking of winning Eurosong, we are going to announce our results of Eurovision's Eurosong 2025. Are we all ready? Eurovision.
It's now time to find out the winner of Eurovision's Eurosong 2025 vote. First up, it's the international jury with Rob Lily Jones.
Hi, Eurovision. It's Rob Lilly from the Eurotrip podcast, and it is a huge honour and a privilege to be here to announce the points from the international jury. Now, things are going to get really exciting, so let's get started. Our 2 points go to Samantha Mumba. 4 points from the international jury go to Aji. So then, on to 6 points. And our 6 points go to Emmy. Right then, things start to get exciting now. 8 points from the international jury go to Railta. Now, this is really where it gets exciting. Who's going to get the 10? Who's going to get the 12? Well, our 10 points go to Niall. And that means that 12 points from the international jury go to Bobby Arlo. Congratulations, everyone, and good luck for Eurosong.
Hey, everyone, Paul Ryder here, and I am thrilled to be the spokesperson delivering the Irish jury points to find out who possibly could follow in the footsteps of that legend. The points are as follows. 2 points go to Aji. 4 points go for Niall. 6 points making their way to Samantha Mumba. 8 points heading their way to Railta. 10 points go to Emmy, meaning that Bobby Arlo takes 12 points. wishing you all the very, very best of luck.
Hi everyone, Enya Cox-Dempsey here, Ireland's Junior Eurovision 2024 representative, and I'm so privileged that Eurovision have asked me to deliver the Irish public points, so here they are. 2 points to Like a Party by Emmy. 4 points to My Way by Samantha Mumba. 6 points to Run of the Night by Adji. 8 points to Fire by Railta. 10 points to Growth by Niall. And 12 points to Power Play by Bobby Arlo. So a big well done to Bobby Arlo and best of luck to everybody else. Mwah! Slán!
So the results are as follows. In 6th place with 12 points is Samantha Mumba with My Way. 5th place is Adji with Run Into the Night on 12 points. 4th place is Emmy with Like a Party on 18 points. 3rd place goes to Railta with Fire on 24 points. Niall finishes in 2nd place with Growth on 24 points. And finishing in number one spot with a clean sweep of 12s across all three categories is Bobby Arlo with Power Play on 36 points. A huge congratulations to Bobby Arlo, your Eurovision Eurosong 2025 winner. But remember, this is not a real vote. Everything can change on the night itself. Make sure you tune in Friday, February 7th from 9:35 on The Late Late Show for the Eurosong 2025 special. Who will get the golden ticket to represent Ireland in Eurovision 2025? You can have your say. Not happy with our results? Make your voice heard on the night itself. And of course, best of luck to all of the 6 acts competing on the night. You will all do so, so well. And enjoy the moment. Eurovision. Here we have it. That is the result of Eurovision's Eurosong 2025 vote. But that is, of course, not the true result. We'll have to tune in on Friday night to find out who will be representing Ireland. We're going to go around the table now and give the person we want to win and the person we think will win. So we'll start here with Glasgow Micheál.
Who I want to win? I'm torn because who I want to do better for us in Basel is Bobby Arlo. My personal favourite is Adji. So either one of them two would be great. Who I think will win, I have a sneaking feeling that one of my two that I'm not really a big fan of would win. So either Railta or Niall, I can see winning because of the vocals and the studio not playing ball with other acts.
Didn't mention Emmy after all that.
After all that fight. poor Katie Hannon had to come in and didn't even get a mention in the end.
Emmy's gonna win.
I just had to say it.
They're my favourites. Like, I'm sorry.
I suppose me holding it.
Emmy's like my second for every
life. Well, Lou, I think your public vote was really indicative of what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They gave 2 points to Emmy. I think that's a little bit of a preview of what maybe could happen on the show.
Till I get my hands on a phone.
Me buying all the SIM cards. Tom, who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
I refuse this Sophie's choice. I'm going to give you two names because I love both of them. Niall and Bobby Arlo, for me, are, I think both of them will be absolutely brilliant. And I kind of want them to duke it out. Whoever has the best performance on staging goes through. Who I think will win, I think it's Bobby's to lose. I think if she gets defeated by the sound or the staging isn't good enough, but she's got so much momentum and support, I really do think it's hers to take.
Belfast Micheál?
Yeah, I have to echo everything Tom said. You said it so well. It's Bobby's to lose. Who I want to win, Bobby, who I think will come through like Bambi last year, is Bobby, yeah.
Alex?
I also think Bobby will take it. I do have a slight fear for Samantha Mumba's fame and placement in the competition, but we shall see. I do think Bobby will come through, and it is Bobby who I think has the best shot at qualifying and getting us a fantastic result. So that is also my personal opinion. But of course, I have to give a shout out to my sister who's going to be up there. So I can't not mention her. I hope she does very well. And best of luck to Rails' team and to the rest of them as well. They are so lovely to talk to. And I think they'd all do a fabulous job.
I think this is our... probably our best Eurosong lineup ever. It's so strong. It's got great diversity. But I want Bobby to win. And I think Bobby has it. Connor.
This is objectively the best Eurosong. Like, I don't know anyone who could disagree. This is definitely the best one.
Seriously. Put your hand down.
I just think last year had two bangers.
Last year was good.
Like, we have two good songs that could do really well. And this year, we're kind of like, yeah, we've got a few that's going well, but there's a lot of ifs and buts and stuff, so...
It's always that way, Tacey, the performances, though.
To look back, right? Because, like, even with Bambi, we weren't sure...
Check the tapes. I was all for Bambi. Check the tapes.
No, we were, but we didn't know. We didn't know the performance, in fairness.
Oh, take this outside.
Someone call Katie Hannon again.
Who do you...
Oh, you were all looking at me. I was
sorry, yeah. Who do you want? Who do you think?
Who do I want? I think I want Bobby. I think Bobby has probably the best package and potential out of them all. But like my personal faves, obviously Bobby is probably my number one, but I'm loving Aji as well. But yeah, I think this is probably the most open Euro song. I think if everything clicks for one particular act, I think all six of them could have a pathway to getting to Basel if things click right. Whereas in previous years, we were often talking about like, oh, it's kind of a two-horse race. Realistically, so I think personally, I think it is Bobby to lose. Like Tom mentioned, the momentum that she has going into this is incredible. Like the best reaction out of all the six, hardly any negative comments given to her. Top of the scoreboard, top of our scoreboard. So yeah, I think easy pathway for Bobby if she gets it right. But again, the pact behind her will be ready to clinch it if they get it right as well. So yeah, that's what I think.
I kind of love that Bobby was announced first and then it was just like hype for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like Bobby leading the charge, even though like the other artists got their moment. But yeah, it was a good way to kick off Europe. Yeah, well, that's where we're at, guys. I think the next stop is February 7th.
Jesus.
The Late Late Studio. It's happening. Any last predictions for who the sponsor will be, what the audience prize will be?
It's going to be shit. Like we're on this like pattern of it being bad.
Bar to
hazelnut spread.
We've gone from like one product to like a bag of products, and now we're going like, what's the next thing? Like, are we getting a tour of a factory of products? Do you know what I mean? Like
anti-dandruff shampoo or something
like that?
Like a petrol voucher or a diesel voucher. Yeah, like you get your diesel or petrol.
It's a Maxwell voucher.
I'd love that.
Thanks for coming for the journey. You know what I mean?
Maybe like online therapy or something for all the Euro fans.
Well, we went to the New Year's Eve show and we didn't even get a sponsor. So
I know, what was that about?
Eurosong.
I was going to ask, has anyone watched a show recently?
I watched the country one.
What did they get at the week? They got something on Friday. The week before, they got a Cassidy 100 Euro travel voucher.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, we'd not keep that for Eurosong. Oh, yeah. Like, what's it?
Travel Eurovision.
Oh, they got a Grafton Barber hamper set.
So annoying for the girlies.
I don't complain. That's where I go get my hair cut.
Yeah, good for the lads.
So wait and see.
February the 7th, guys. Don't miss it. 9:35, the Late Late Show Eurosong special. Don't miss it. It will be on the RTE player, which is always readily available for internationals watching. Make sure you vote for your favourites. Just actually, it's always a nice thing to say, anybody who lives in the UK, you can vote through the Northern Irish phone number. Make sure you do that if you want to, you know, help push your favourite through. But yeah, make sure you get your phones out and you vote on Friday, February the 7th. And good luck to all contestants. Terrific. So we're looking forward to that. Malfest Micheál, where can people find you in the meantime?
You can find me at my name at all my socials, but more importantly, Eurovision Hub. We've actually just done our Eurosong 2025 reaction. So if you're looking for something to do in the exciting week ahead before Eurosong, check it out. It's the first one we've ever done. So like I said earlier, it's a nice way to see the perspective of internationals and maybe how different songs could get on. So yeah, Eurovision hub everywhere.
And Tom, where can we find you?
On YouTube, I'm ESC Tom. I do reaction analysis videos, and I'm going to be live streaming the Eurosong final on Friday. And on Twitter, I'm at Eurovision Tom.
Amazing. Live streaming Eurosong. Love it. You were live streaming something the other night I saw. Was it? Wasn't Luxembourg, was it?
I was assuming the Greek national flag. I was having connection issues. And also it took 55 minutes for the first song. So
yeah, that was an experience. Glasgow, Micheál, where can everyone find you? Not in Glasgow anymore, anyway.
Glasgow, Micheál's changed to Belfast, Micheál. It's mad. I'm in Blue Sky, so I think it's at Micheál, I think.
M-E-E-H-A-L-L?
Yeah, you can find any of my weird takes, like, for example, Lily Jane Wild would have got more points than Amar Pelsh Deutsch, but we all knew this anyway. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for having me to argue and talk and nearly fight with Alex Basmati. So, thank you.
It's a staple at this point. Well, you can find all of us at Eurovision Podcast, Alex Basmati across everywhere, Irlandi Lupin, ESC Connor. You can find us on all streaming platforms, YouTube now, Facebook, Blue Sky, TikTok. We're Eurovision Pod on X, or formerly known as Twitter. Send us a message, comment on our post, send us a voice message if you want. If you like what we do, please give us a 5-star review on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, or just simply share us with your Eurovision loving friends if they haven't found us yet. And if you like what we do, give us a little bit of support on Buy Me a Coffee. So appreciated to support the things that we do. Alex, any final words before we go?
Bum bum bada bum 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 bada bum 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 bum. Now I send my apologies to Emmy and Micheál.
Not accepted.
We need to work on this. All right.
Will we say Connor any final thoughts for you?
No. Enjoy Eurosong.
Enjoy Eurosong, guys. And all we have to say is
Salon de Faux.
Meet me in Paris on the shores of